Welcome to your Spiritual Besties podcast. I'm Lauren Ledoux.
And I'm Rashida McCoy. We're here to laugh, cry, learn, and connect with you.
We discuss anything and everything from our everyday lives to the magical, mystical, and woo-woo.
So take a deep breath, grab a cup of tea,
and set an intention to receive, because you deserve it, bestie. Hi, Rashida. Happy May.
Hey, friend. How are you?
I'm doing well. I can hear you shuffling cards.
I am preparing. Yes. Okay, let me put these down. Mic is legit.
It really is. So we've been trying to record here for a little while, but there were like tornado alarms going off where I live and internet going out. I think things are finally stable now. We had a chance to catch up. And we're going to get into this episode today. So this is airing May 1st, which is May Day and Beltane. Mm-hmm. And so we'll chat just a little bit about that. And we'll also do our May Oracle readings. So I'm excited because May feels like Beltane May Day is mid-spring. So it feels like we're out of the winter officially, you know. I know like spring started obviously a few weeks ago, but I don't know. There's less of a chance that I'm going to be freezing my butt off here anytime soon. Like swimming is coming. You know, we're recording this a little bit before and like we're already just spending so much more time outside and it just feels really good.
It's yeah. Really good. Same here. Yeah. When you think about Beltane or May Day, you know, it's a celebration of fertility and, you know, the coming arrival of summer. Yeah. When you think about that in relation to the winter, right? So we had spring, we had our spring equinox, we had that transition happen. Spring is already here, but you ever like, all of a sudden you're like startled awake, like it doesn't feel very good, right? It's mm-hmm. the same thing with this transition from like our winter into spring. Like when we come out of that slumber and that sleep, we're not really meant to just like hit the ground running. Like it's a transition. And this, you know, Beltane, May Day, it's just like that reminder of, okay, like things are starting to amp up. It is time to like really like think about where we're trying to go and like what we're trying to do. Well, the think about part was like as we were waking up, right? And now this signifies like that halfway point between spring and summer. And summer, you know, is like we're go, go, go. We're on it. We're on fire. So I love this time because it's a good time also to like reassess as well. Just like when I was in my slumber, when I was in my winter, when I was in my homes, these are the thoughts and the dreams and actions that I wanted to take. Now that I've had some time, the weather's warmed up a little bit. I've really reassessed everything. Where do I want to go? What do I really want to do? What is, you know, calling to me? And I say that, Lauren, because this year we're not doing a garden in the ground. We're not doing an in-ground garden. All this land and we're not doing that. But I really want to just like re-landscape my yard and my and everything around my house and really rework things. And I had wanted to come out of winter being like, oh, let's just go. Let's just do it. Let's just get stuff in the ground. And now I'm at the point where I'm like, you know what? We've pulled out all our boxes, gotten rid of a lot of things, and we're just going to start new. And this year's going to be all about the container gardening, which is perfectly fine. So
yeah. A little more manageable. Yeah. So Beltane's also like opposite on the wheel from Samhain, from Halloween. So it's supposed to also be a time of the veil thinning. But while Samhain is about honoring the dead, like those who've passed, Beltane is all about honoring the living. We mm-hmm. do that through the goddess. The goddess comes in many forms. Specifically, we're talking about like the goddess of love here because we are talking about fertility a bit as well. But we're celebrating like the flowers being here and awake and alive and the lushness and abundance that's all around us.
Yeah. So,
if you want a refresher on the goddesses of love, we did an episode a few weeks back for Valentine's Day that we went over some of them. But there's also the goddess Maeve, who is celebrated around this time, and she's the goddess of like cycles, and particularly is associated with the menstrual cycle and with fertility. So I don't know a whole lot about her other than she's Irish, and I think she stopped a war by saying like they had to pause while she was menstruating or something, which is really interesting. But she's someone you can call on to like get in tune with your cycle. So, happy May Day. I think last year we planted all of our wildflower seeds for our garden on May Day, and I did already plant some flower seeds, but I think we'll do some more this year to celebrate.
Celebrate.
Just keep it simple, you know?
That I might do that too. Just wait till May Day. Yeah. As a form, I got my cultivator and my tiller, and I'm really ready to just do a little something. So
nice.
Also too, I would like to say, if you are looking to honor this festival time, this May Day, Beltane, you can decorate your home with fresh flowers or ribbons, and it helps to symbolize the blooming of life. And then also, a ritual, of course, is like a bonfire. I feel like there's fires for almost every single ritual here. Mm-hmm. But it's really meant to purify and protect. And also, do you remember doing the maypole as a kid?
I never did it.
You never did it. We did here, out here in Orange, Virginia, in the country. It was kind of fun. It was a little chaotic, but it was fun. And you dance around the maypole for a look and love. And yeah, it's just a huge celebration of honoring life, really.
It just reminds me of, what's the horror movie?
We had to take it there. What movie is this, Lauren?
Well, oh gosh, I can't think of the name of it.
What is it about?
This woman who's in college loses her family tragically, and she and her boyfriend and some college friends go visit a friend's family that's on this compound in somewhere Scandinavian. Midsummer, that's the name of it.
Okay. I was like, this sounds so familiar, until you got to Scandinavia. I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not super into horror movies right now, but it's actually a very good movie. It's all about a woman like who's had to suppress her feelings, kind of reclaiming that and having a community around her. But it's a really culty, weird community. But it's anyway, enough about that. And it's not
Besties, this is what we do. That we just like go off and we chat. This is it.
If you've ever seen the image, it's Florence Pugh, that's the actress, of her like just covered in flowers, and she's like the May Queen. That's from that, but it's pretty interesting. There's okay. A lot of like psychedelics involved, and yeah.
So it's not like it's more culty psychological thriller instead of like horror, monsters, aliens.
Oh yeah, yeah. No monsters or aliens. Definitely. Very psychedelic or very psychological, and then there's a couple gruesome things, but mostly it's just her kind of reclaiming herself in a way.
Okay.
But also joining a cult. So
I'm not gonna condone it or agree with it, but you gotta find your village somewhere.
It's interesting though. Anyway.
Well, there we go. You can check out Midsummer and have a bonfire ritual and put some fresh flowers in your house. But no, seriously, besties, we'd love to know if you hit us up on Instagram with this out about this episode. We'd love to know what you want to bring in for your May Day, what ritual or thing you would like to do with your family to honor this time.
Yeah.
Cool. Should we get into this oracle one?
Yeah. So we will tap into May for you all today. And I decided to not go with a card deck today. Instead, I'm going with this book by RuPaul called Guru. And it's full of a lot of great quotes and little stories. So I'm excited to kind of use that. What are you using?
Using an affirmation deck. I don't know. I was looking at my cards and my eye just kept catching this one. So I am pulling from an affirmation deck and seeing what comes of it. And I really love that we're like doing something a little bit different, because that's kind of like, we're with anything that we use, we're tapping into our intuition each and every time. So you don't need the tool, but it helps with a little guidance. And I just love seeing what comes from us not using like an actual oracle card. So yeah, I'm excited about yours, Lauren. I can't wait to get into your pull for May. So why don't you start us off?
Yeah, so I'm number one, if this is what appeals to you, listener, bestie, then this one's for you. You can also take in both. That's totally fine. I'll flip through the pages. This is sweet. So the quote that I flipped to, first I'll say there's a picture of RuPaul wearing a beautiful blue dress and looking angelic and goddessy and magnetic here. She's like a ribbony dress with a blonde wig, and she's glowing. And the quote says, "Quick reminder, you are God's gift to the world." And the little story that goes with it says, "At 10 years old, I was told by my mother, moisturize, moisturize, moisturize. And I have ever since. Luckily, my skin has been pretty resilient given the amount of makeup and sun I forced it to endure." To totally go with the quote. But one of the reasons I've been liking this book is that it's very much like, I think, okay, a lot of spirituality teaches us to humble ourselves. And while that can be helpful for certain people, it's not really that helpful for those of us who are already humble and who already feel like not enough, right? And I think a lot of that humble yourself sentiment is very patriarchal, right? Because that is spirituality particularly aimed at like men or white men even, because they're more likely to have the issue with their ego where it's overinflated, where I think as a lot of women, queer people, etc., have an underinflated ego. And it's still ego, by the way, but it manifests in a little bit different way. So a lot of this book is really about like reclaiming your power and being very unapologetic about like what makes you special and what makes you who you are, and how to like even show that on the outside. Kind of the opposite of being like a nun who needs to like wear no makeup and cover their hair and body. It's like, how do we embody our goddess, right?
Mm-hmm.
So by saying you're God's gift to the world, and God, however you define it, you truly are. Like, we are manifestations of the divine. Treat yourself that way. I don't have a lot to say other than that.
Hey, you know, I really love that, because you're right. When most of us walking the spirituality path, we have to shed a lot of these things about ourselves and also like learn how to keep our quote unquote ego in check. A lot of us are very humble. A lot of us are not very showy. I know for myself, it's, you know, and in our space too, Lauren, it gets said a lot. Like, I, you know, want to show up for myself. I want to take up space. I want to do all of these things. And I think sometimes we are trying to do those things and in a sense of like have that for ourselves, but based off of what someone else is showing up looks like. And knowing like you are a divine being, you are, you know, the divine's gift to the world, I think it's a really great call to action to really hone in on those things like you were talking about that makes us unique. What are our gifts? What is our purpose? What are we here for? Because then we can authentically shine our lights in a way that is for us and true to us and inherently ours. We're not looking outside of ourselves, and it's not coming across as just straight ego in a way. But it is something that we are doing not only for ourselves, but, you know, to share ourselves with the world. So I love this yeah, quote.
I like the way you said that. I think that there is a responsibility to take care of your gifts and take care of your vessel, which is, you know, your body, your mind, and your spirit, because that's what we're given in this life to share with. Mm-hmm. It's like the instrument or the vehicle. And yeah, don't trash it and don't cover things up. Like, how do we show up fully? And I don't think there's anything really egotistical about that. I don't think owning your gifts is egotistical. I think we're given, this responsibility to hone our gifts and sharpen our gifts and become more skillful so that we can be in our purpose and share that purpose with the world. Yeah. I know for me, I'll just personalize it a little bit right now. Like, I'm in this really internal phase, I think, right now. Like, I don't really feel like sharing a whole lot. And I just feel like I need space. But I'm doing that because I feel like forcing what I should be sharing or something like that. Because, like you said, like somebody else might be really consistent about sharing what's going on with them or whatever, whether it be on social media or whatever, that I'm actually doing my gifts a disservice. I think I need this time to like marinate right now and let things refine in the darkness in a way. So I think that's what I'm doing to like sort of sharpen my own sword right now, so to speak. And I don't know what it looks like on the other side, but I'm not supposed to at the moment.
That, I feel like when we talk about like doshas, you're in your kapha phase. And I feel like we are constantly like evolving through these different phases, vata, pitta, kapha. And you kind of have to do that in order to, one, make sure you're still in alignment with who you are. Like, we all know we are beings that are constantly changing. As we move through life and as we co-create with others and as we have things that come up in our relationships or whatever the case may be, as we learn new things, we have to reevaluate sometimes. And you can't reevaluate if you are always moving forward and producing and putting things out there because you don't have the time to do that. So having that stillness and silence sometimes doesn't happen in quote unquote the winter time. Sometimes it takes a while for you to sit in silence and internally and really look up things and see how you feel. I feel like sometimes in our society, we are wanting everything to happen now. Like, I know when I first got into spirituality, I got this like shadow workbook and I was like, oh, I'm going to work on my shadows and this is going to be great. And you know, the marketing was kind of like, yeah, this is what's going to happen. You're going to be this like brand new person as you come out. And first of all, they lied. First of all, you were consistently working through your shadows. You don't get rid of them. You acknowledge them. You look at them in their face and you learn more things. Ooh, Ellie is barking. You learn more things about yourself. And so I don't know. I feel like we have to take that time to really sit and really look at ourselves, to kind of like are just that check, you know?
Yeah, I like that. And also just a reminder that we're in spring right now and that is a kapha seasonal constitution. So that's characterized by earth and water and it should be a little slower. Winter is actually vata. It's ether and air.
Yeah.
And yeah, I think like we're still kind of in the planning phase and like we're sowing seeds too. And something just to bring it more into a grounded space, I've personally been working on right now, one, like being off my phone, just deleting any apps that suck my time, and two, not rushing, which can be really hard when you have a kid or kids to not feel rushed sometimes. But I realize how much I try and rush through. And it brings my body into a state that doesn't feel good, you know, whether I realize it or not. And yeah, I'm just trying to move a little bit more slowly and methodically, I think, right now. And I'm hoping that going with that energy is what is best for these gifts. I think taking care of the vessel will do that. So.
Now, I am in full agreement with all of this. Okay. Right. So, if you chose to, I am going to pull an affirmation. I've already shuffled, but just jumped right out. The capacity to love others more fully when I love myself first. Card, I really like how it plays into what we were just talking about, Lauren, especially when it comes to taking care of our vessel. You know, everyone knows the saying, you can't pour from an empty cup. All, you know, but what is that like? What does that mean to you? What does like an empty cup mean to you? And what does a full cup look like for you? Really evaluating. And I'm not just talking about, you know, self-care so that you can like take care of yourself and, you know, give, give, give. As a mom, I am constantly giving. Lauren, you are too. We are constantly giving, and it doesn't matter if we are sick or we're well or whatever the case may be. We give, and it's not because we always have to, but it's just we want to. But when we talk, when we look at that, look at this time, we are going to want to collaborate more. We're coming out of being, you know, alone in our winter, right? We're going to want to collaborate more. We're going to want to get our hands in the pot more. We're going to want to do more activities. We're going to want to make sure our kids are fulfilled. We're going to want to make sure our partner is fulfilled. We're going to have the desire to want all of that. And if we are not taking care of our vessel mentally, physically, spiritually, the person who's going to be drained is us, you know? So what does going forward in this time look like for you? What does a full cup look like for you? What does that mean to you? I'm really feeling this call to like really get clear on what does that mean? You know, obviously, if you're tired and if you're not getting sleep and if you're not eating well and if you don't have any time for yourself, obviously you're quote unquote pouring from an empty cup. But What would your dream day look like to know that you are filling yourself up? And I don't just mean like the typical self-care. I'm going to take a bath and I'm going to do this. Like, what about your self-care practices? Have you kind of let go? Maybe it's time to reevaluate that. What are you just doing to fill time and space? Are your practices that you currently have right now really nourishing you? I think this card and this time is really asking us to look at what we have set up in our lives that are serving us and look at things that really are not serving us anymore, even if they're meant to be self-care practices. Because not every practice is going to have its intended purpose if we're just going through the motions of doing it. And when we finally define exactly what it is we are needing in our lives, especially as moms, we can convey that to not only our partner, but also start conveying that to our children. I know a lot of times we see like moms being self-sacrificing, and this has just been a huge theme for me. My kids like to climb on me, and they like to be right next to me, even when I'm eating dinner. Like, and I know everyone's like, if you have them in the high chair, you have them in their seats, they can't do that. But you know what? That's not how we do things in our house. And I need them to know that mommy needs to nourish her body first. Like my daughter, she'll eat something really quick and she'll come back and she'll say, hey, mommy, can I get X, Y, and Z? And instead of me getting upset or snapping, I take a moment and say, hey, Macy, did mommy get your food already? Yeah, you got your food. You ate your grapes and whatever. Can you see what mommy's doing right now? And she'll say, yes. And I'll say, well, mommy took care of you first. You know, you're not starving. You're not hungry. You're not super hungry right now. Can mommy take care of herself? And I've been having to really bring this up for my daughter to know that mommy has to take care of herself first. And mommy has to take care of herself and feed herself and nourish herself and really have time. Same thing with them climbing all over me. Like I'll look at my husband, and I'll say, you know, hey, Daniel, do you think you can like, you're done. Do you think you can like hang out with them for a little bit? Like really claiming that. So when I can, you know, love myself, take care of myself, nourish myself, do what I need fully and really ask for that and know what it is I need, I can ask for that. And then I can like give myself in a big, big way to others. But if I am constantly being dragged down or constantly being like, asked to do this and that, it's just a lot harder to come from a place of compassion and love when I'm not feeling that from those around me, right? But also I'm not taking myself into consideration and doing for me what I need. Lauren, I know that was a lot.
No, it sounds like it hit home for you, which is great. And yeah, can you read the quote again?
Yeah, I have the capacity to love others more fully when I love myself first.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I will also quote RuPaul here, who always says at the end of every Drag Race episode, if you can't love yourself, how the hell are you going to love somebody else? Can mm-hmm. I get an amen?
Amen.
Yeah, and I thought about this a lot because it's such a short, like, simple quote. And I do think at times we, by others loving us, it helps us love ourselves better, you know, or by loving someone else, it teaches us about love. But I do think it speaks to that, like, you can't pour from an empty cup, and also, like, the lack of integrity in not having love or compassion for yourself, but like trying to give it to someone else. It's not like fully realized, you know, when that's the case. Mm-hmm. So yeah, I definitely feel like it's a call to ask yourself, like, what do I need right now? What does love look like? Like, what is love? What does it look like? What does it feel like? How do I need to receive it? And how do I embody that? How do I embody that for myself so I can embody it for others? Yeah, it might be as simple as take a nap, you know, or get some help. Yeah, and I think, like, it's one thing to hear anyone use these phrases, but I think it hits differently for moms because a lot of times we do have to choose our kids over ourselves. And over time, we can create boundaries, but, you know, kid falls and hurts themselves. You can't say, like, oh, no, I'm sorry. I gotta finish doing what I'm doing first. Like, no, you have to put it down and take care of them. But I think ultimately that teaches them to care for themselves and that they're even worthy of that. So we're in this very important phase right now where it's hard. It's really hard, but it's necessary because our voice becomes their voice eventually, their inner voice.
Yeah, no, I agree. And I just want to, like, speak from personal experience because that's all I have, right? Especially with my daughter. She's 5. Macy is 5 now. And, you know, I've been trying to find this, like, balance of letting her know that the world is her oyster and she's, like, it. Like, this is her life. Like, she gets to live it the way she wants, but also having her realize that there are others in it co-creating with her. And since, like, there will be times where Miles will get hurt or fall or something like that, and she's like, right on, are you okay, buddy? Oh, did you get a boo-boo? Are you fine? And there'll be other times she's, like, super indifferent, and then she'll, like, randomly ask for something or do something, and I'll say, you know, Macy, when we have someone that's hurt around us, let's check on our family or our friends first, right? So I know for me, I don't know, based off of, like, all the conditioning and all the things that have happened to me and all the things that have said in my childhood, I'm trying to find this, like, happy balance of parenting my daughter in a way that I want her to go out into the world, right? Which is also not super easy with Macy because she is not open to conditioning at all, even, like, the best kind. Like, she is very closed in her centers. But also too, like, what you said, Lauren, when you said either, like, a nap or getting help, I feel like when we are in the spirituality space, we think, like, we have to have these rituals and we have to do this thing, and it just has to be so, like, mythical and mysterious or whatever the case may be. And, you know, I think sometimes too, when we're moms, especially in this space, like, we are constantly in the mundane of things. Like, we're constantly in the everyday flow of life. Like, I was just telling you earlier, like, my morning ritual does not, it's not working I hardly even have one now, but I want that. Like, I want to get back to that space. So when we think about like filling our cups up or giving ourselves love, showing ourselves love, embodying that for ourselves, asking ourselves what we need, it doesn't have to be this like super spiritual thing. Like, really look at your life and like say, what am I needing here? Like, truly, really, because no matter what you do for yourself on the physical plane, it's going to help you in your spiritual plane. Also, and on the mental side as well.
Just add to that, like, to me, there's not really a difference between the physical and the spiritual. It's all part of one whole. Mm-hmm. And embodying love, taking loving actions, whether it's to yourself or to others, you being so thoughtful about what you're passing on to your daughter and helping to shape her, that is, to me, that's more spiritual than sitting in meditation, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I feel like we devalue these things and that we put like the physical and the spiritual on a hierarchy at times, but there's no difference.
Same.
Yeah. And we talked about this in our catching up episode, but like, shit. First off, what I was gonna say.
Brain.
No, that there is not this separation. And, God, I forgot. My God, I need some sleep. But
that's what you need the most right now.
Yeah.
I know. And I agree with you. I really don't. I think, Lauren, for those of us, and I'm not just going to say it's just moms, but I think for those of us who are in this space and who are momming and who are really having to like wear a bunch of hats and look at things and think things differently and try to fit certain things into our life, we kind of see things for what they are. We don't have the time or the space sometimes for all of the I don't want to call it fluffy stuff because I love it, you know, all of the cards and the things that, that just kind of help with our spirituality. We really do have to like look at things from a different perspective. And like you said, you know, Rashida, you thinking about this and trying to raise your daughter in this way is super spiritual, because when we think about spirituality, what, you know, that's how we are like really defining what it means to us. Like, when we define like what spirituality is to us, I mean, it's like, yeah, elevating ourselves, like bring ourselves into a space of, in a way, enlightenment and peace, holding compassion, having compassion for ourselves. But ultimately, that's the point in life, right? Like, not yeah. just our spiritual lives, our whole lives.
Those practices are meant to be integrated. To me, like, I think about meditating as like having some green juice in the morning. That doesn't mean I'm not going to eat fruits and vegetables the rest of the day. You know what I mean? It's meant to like just get me on the right track, essentially. That might be a silly metaphor, but it's also like, okay, if I do 30 minutes of exercise, it's not really that helpful if I just sit on my butt the rest of the day. Like, I'm meant yes. to be moving and enjoying my life. And I see those practices as the same thing. They're not applied.
They're meant
to be guideposts, and they're moments for us to become more mindful. And I remember what I was going to say is that to me, spirituality is becoming more present and reverent to our own lives. You know, I really like kind of latching on to this definition right now.
Yeah.
And we do that by living our lives and being present to it and having gratitude and respect for what's happening. Do we need the meditation, the breath, the cards, or whatever to remind us to be that way sometimes if we're kind of sleepwalking through our lives? Absolutely. But if we can't meditate today, but we still are feeling grateful for the food we are eating and the time we have with our children and the work that we're doing, good.
I fully agree on that. I think it's just something that we all have to like realize at some point too. Mm-hmm. What the point of all of this is. What are the point in these tools, and really looking at it as tools, not a way to escape, not a way to like get to something that is unattainable, because all of it's attainable, right? All of these things that we're hoping to achieve through these practices, through these tools, through these courses. But again, I just want to say, like, as a mom, I think you really see that. And like, we have the opportunity and the pleasure to see that from this perspective because of how we're living our lives and raising these people. Yeah. And you and I, you know, and I know there's a lot of moms out there in this space. We're not lost, you know, to just the everyday mundanity of just day in and day out, just doing things just because. So
yeah, we're being conscious.
Yeah.
The best we know how to.
The best we know how.
Yeah. Well, this is good.
Yeah.
This is all about love and sharing your gifts. So loving yourself and sharing your gifts. How can you love yourself more this month? What actions can you take? What does love in action look like? And know that you are God's or goddess's gift to the world, truly. Mm. You know, it can be easy to see like our babies as that, but we have to remember that we are the same. We're all part of the same whole. Yeah.
But, yeah. Happy Beltane. Besties, thank you for joining us in this episode. We're like, we're going to make it a quick one. And here we are almost 40 minutes in.
Yeah. But that's
all right. Love, yeah, no, I think it's needed. You know, when you pull some words and it speaks to you, like just let it out. And
yeah.
I'm so grateful for you. And I love you so much. Thank you for being here and being on this journey with me. And besties, thank you for listening and joining.
Yeah, love you too, friend. Thanks, besties. We'll chat soon.
Thank you so much for joining us for this incredible episode. If you loved it, don't forget to subscribe, leave a review, and tell all your besties about us.
You can also connect with us on Instagram at Your Spiritual Besties Podcast. And be sure to say hello and share your thoughts about the episode. Love you, bestie. Talk soon.